prices traded lower for most of today, and while managing to reverse those early losses by the close, concerns of an economic slowdown still seem to be outweighing supply disruptions from OPEC's production cutbacks and from U.S. sanctions on Iran and Venezuela. So joining us on the line now to take us through the activity playing out in the oil markets and the sense he's making of it all, Chief Commodities Analyst at SEB, Jean Schildorp. Thanks so much, Jean, for joining us on the line this evening. So what have you made of the kind of pullback we've seen in that oil price, bearing in mind that just last Thursday we had the oil price hitting a four-month high, begging the question whether this price hadn't run too hard and too fast in the first place?
I think the lesson that the market learned in October was that oil could sell off very aggressively along with a sell-off in equities. And that's what we saw on Friday as well. You know, we had a sharp sell-off in S&P 500 and oil followed. But conditions are very different now from last autumn, because last autumn we also had that OPEC and OPEC Plus increased production radically and basically helped to crash the oil price to the end of the year. Right now, OPEC is cutting quite aggressively. And, you know, so I think the pullback right now is going to be temporary.
So in that scenario, then, are we overestimating the risk of a new crude glut emerging?
You know, I think when OPEC and the 10 cooperating countries decided to cut in early December, you know, it was kind of a two-stage rocket. First, OPEC cleaned up the surplus in the global oil market, and the second stage is to see inventories draw down, then also in the U.S. as you start to export more oil out of the U.S. And that's exactly what we've seen over the past 4 or 5 weeks, much stronger exports of oil out of the U.S., and inventories in the U.S. are turning sharply lower and declining against the seasonal trends of overall increases. So, you know, the medicine of OPEC is working. That's what the data shows.
You talk about, you know, the cuts that have already been implemented. Do you see OPEC intensifying that positioning even further and potentially introducing even more cuts down the road?
You know, we saw that Russia recently said that they would not take a decision in April to cut also for the second half of 2019. I think that's very sensible. You know, it's no reason to make that decision too early. Too many variables and too many things can happen left, right, and center. So, you know, they really want to sort of sit down in June when they meet again together with OPEC and decide, do we need to cut further? And I definitely think if the answer is yes, then they will continue holding back supply also in the second half of the year.
Yeah. As you say, there are a host of, you know, factors simultaneously at play. And amongst the lot are supply disruptions that we're seeing in Venezuela and Iran as well. What kind of supply does that take out of the system? And how soon do you anticipate, or are the markets anticipating, supply starting to flow back in from those quarters?
I think, you know, these are, I think general attitude towards supply in the market is very often that you need to be reactive because it's impossible to know. But I think in terms of Venezuela, you know, our view is that it's going to be worse before it gets better. You know, we're still not sort of turned the corner to any proper solution. And Iran, yes, maybe they can export some more oil outside of the U.S. embargo, but I think, you know, we're still soon up for a renewal of waivers in the U.S. And in general, the U.S. Sanctions work like a tightening screw, you know, so the waivers that oil importers got in November, they are probably most likely going to be smaller for the second half of 2019. So, you know, I think It's not too difficult to be Saudi Arabia these days.
Okay, Jean, we've had drilling rigs in America falling to their lowest in almost a year. How much supply pressure does that necessarily alleviate?
You know, I think in terms of shale oil production, it's kind of a two-stage process. First, you drill the wells, and then you complete them. And, you know, over the past 2 years, we've built up a huge amount of drilled but uncompleted wells. So seeing rig count decline in terms of drilling rigs will not necessarily reduce production growth in the U.S. all that much, because you have this huge inventory of unfinished wells that you can complete. And we saw 1 week ago, we saw data from the U.S. showing that completions of shale oil wells in February was the highest since March 2015. So, you know, they still have a huge amount of wells they can complete. So reducing drilling rig counts doesn't really impact the guy all that much to start with.
Jean, are you putting any oil price forecasts out there?
Yeah, so we have an end-of-year $75 per barrel forecast, and also $75 per barrel Brent crude forecast for next 2 years. And we also see one of the main reasons for this very strong crude price forecast is due to the new shipping fuel regulations coming on 1st of January 2020, when the global shipping fleet will have to run with only 0.5% sulfur, which is going to tighten up the oil market from the product side.
Well, let's leave it there. Jean, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, Jean Schildorf is with SEB.